the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our homily this morning is the Old Testament lesson appointed for this day from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, reading from the first verse. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and learn what clear perception is. What I am commending to you is sound doctrine. Do not discard my teaching. I too was once a son with a father, in my mother's eyes a tender child, special. This was what he used to teach me. Let your heart treasure what I have to say. Guard my commandments, and you shall live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire perception. Never forget her. Never deviate from my words. Do not desert her. She will keep you safe. Love her. She will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom at the cost of all you have. Acquire perception. Hold her close and she will make you great. Embrace her and she will be your pride. She will set a crown of grace on your head, present you with a glorious diadem. This is our text. Dear friends, by this time, in a summer term, and especially in a short term, the quest for wisdom strikes us once again as increasingly futile. There seems much more than enough to learn, and not near enough time to learn it, whether that time be limited to 2 weeks, 2 months, or even a lifetime. We might recall Socrates' words that he is truly wise who knows that he is not, or put the other way around, he is truly a fool who thinks he is wise when he is not. Or we may add our own experiential verification to the saying, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. In any case, the quest for wisdom often seems more frustratingly foolish than wise. And yet our text exhorts us to acquire wisdom. And it says that the first step to getting wisdom is to get wisdom, which doesn't help a whole lot. Now, there are those who seek after wisdom, and that is good. Indeed, that is why we are here this summer. But it can also be misguided, can't it? There are many who chase after wisdom, learning this and learning that so that they might astound all the world with all the wisdom that they think they have acquired. How foolish they seem, becoming in the end but theological, even ecclesiastical, wise guys, and forgetting that even Solomon, in all his glory and all his wisdom, did some pretty dumb things too. Of course, on the other hand, there are those who scorn theological study as so much wasted time and effort, unrelated to the real task of the church at the cutting edge of life. There are those, too, who believe that theological wisdom comes through some sort of divine osmosis. And wouldn't it be nice if the Holy Spirit just inspired us and revealed to us all these truths so that we wouldn't have to dig them out of his revealed word already given to us, written in Greek and Hebrew, no less. Can't this quest for wisdom be a little easier, a little less frustrating? Do we really have to work so hard to acquire wisdom? Well, not really. On the one hand, that is why we're here. Because, as our text said, teaching and learning is good. The inspired writer speaking, father to son here, says, do not forsake my Torah, my teaching, my revelation. Guard my commandments and live. God says, study my words. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. That is part of acquiring wisdom, to be sure. but then remember. Remember what the real purpose and the real focus of this quest for wisdom is all about. Remember that there is more to wisdom than self-serving knowledge by which we may impress our friends and neighbors, not to mention parishioners and publishers. But then remember, there is more to wisdom than the futile frustration of the never-ending quest. Then remember, there is more here to wisdom and to all of these proverbs than just common sense savvy in the ways of the world. Oh, learning how to cope and how to get along and know life and prime the pump and think positively are all very good, but that's hardly the whole counsel of God. For the book of Proverbs itself, moving as it does from apparently obvious aphorisms to searching the depth of the wisdom and mysteries of God himself, points us to an even greater father and a greater son, who himself was the manifestation of God's wisdom, a son in whom God's logos and sophia come together, the word made flesh. Maybe that's why the book of Proverbs expresses that first principle of wisdom as the fear of the Lord. Yes, a fear, an awe, a respect, a reverence of the holy Lord of heaven and earth, who has all power and authority and justice to punish and condemn sinful and foolish people. But a fear of the Lord, who also knows in respect and awe and wonder that the Lord of heaven and earth has, in his infinite wisdom, taken the punishment of sinful, foolish people onto himself and laid it on his Son, our Savior, Christ our Lord. A fear of the one true God, who in the foolishness of the cross has shown us true wisdom indeed. Yes, it seems a bit foolish to us, foolish people, to die for another, for God's Son to give up the glory of heaven to walk this earth and suffer for us, the innocent for the guilty, salvation through sacrifice, life through death, communion with God by his doing, not ours, to be at peace with God through his body and blood, to celebrate the mystery of his presence with us in bread and wine. No wonder Paul says that our crucified Lord is a scandal to Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. It does seem a bit foolish, but how wonderfully wise it really is. Yes, our text says the first step to wisdom is to get wisdom, to know God's wisdom, foolish though it may seem, to know God's wisdom in Jesus Christ. And all that we do here, all our learning, all our study, all our quest for wisdom, focuses on that wisdom of the cross and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the mystery. The foolishness, no, the wisdom that we share this day, that we share here together at the Holy Supper of our Lord. Come, let us get wisdom. Amen.